Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's comic book club. Now here you are, Pete LePage, Justin Teller, and Alex Galvin!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, James.
James!
Big news about James, he's now our permanent booth man. Fuck that guy, that old guy. Fuck him, right?
Wow.
Oh, exactly. Which one? Rotating booth man? What is this? We're professionals here. That's why we set up the table in front of the audience.
Hey, I'm supposed to be the angry guy. What the fuck?
2009, motherfucker, we're getting weird, okay? I'm angry now.
James, where's your codpiece? Yeah.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
Oh! We have a great show for you guys tonight. I'm very excited about the guests we have. So let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Donnelly, David Gallagher, and Steve Ellis. Yeah! So much for coming on the show. Very excited to have you here.
Thank you. We're excited to be here, Alex.
Thank you. That's the
right thing. Thank you very much. Matt, let's chat with you briefly first. Yeah. You have been in Vegas.
Yeah, I moved to Las Vegas about 2 months ago, and I just came weeping back today. Actually, the show right after the show is another farewell show for somebody, a close friend of mine. So I came back to do the show right after the show, and then he asked me to come by tonight. So
that's the price of one flight. Heartwarming story.
Oh, thanks, everybody. All the money goes to orphans.
It's heartwarming, but untrue.
Yeah.
Heartwarming, but untrue.
I don't even know what an orphan is.
Yeah. So it's a big nostalgia night for you.
Yeah, it is. It is. Just seeing this. It's taking me a lot. This red tablecloth is that Superman's cape?
Yeah,
I ripped it off. It was rad.
You don't do that. No. That's the one rule, right?
That's what it's for. Yeah, I mean, now it's
like, Superman. There's a puppy over there.
I was kidding. And now he's Superman. Oh. It's like in the Santa Claus. Anybody with me?
I think I'm gonna start growing muscles any day now.
Yeah.
That's how
you
it
have,
happens.
They don't just grow. It's not like hair. You have to work on them.
You clearly have not seen the Santa Claus. Steve, David, let's talk to you guys. So, High Moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
For those in the audience who don't know about it, I want to give us a little bit of a rundown about it, where you left it.
Oh, where we left the story, or where we left...
In general, what's the pitch for the story?
When
last we were here, we talked about High Moon, which is our ongoing webcomic graphic novel that you can read at zutacomics.com. And it tells the story of an unchanging man in a changing time.
It's not so much true anymore.
Because we finished our first season, and things have slightly changed.
It's a different man.
Yeah. We killed the protagonist. Sorry, spoilers.
Okay,
take those spoilers back.
We don't kill all the protagonists.
Take those spoilers back.
Or maybe.
Well, I don't think it was spoilers.
It started off as vampires versus werewolves in the Old West.
Yeah, essentially.
And makes that title brilliant. I love that title.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And the second season sort of explores more... The first season was all about unchanging man in a changing time. And the second season explored more the elements of the death of the frontier and the death of the... And sort of moving everything from the Gilded Age into the Industrial Revolution.
Right, and also demon robots.
With giant monsters and demon robots.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Steam engine golems, demon robots, good times.
Great.
So what's coming up for it? If anything.
In February, we have an announcement.
Can you say
that? Yeah. At New York Comic Con, there will be some sort of announcement about High Moon in February at New York Comic Con.
Are you guys getting married?
Yeah. What's that?
What? What's
the deal?
You gotta
put a ring on it?
Put
a ring on it?
Oh, yeah, we're totally getting married.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I'm already married. So.
Complication.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
It complicates the.
So you have an announcement in February and the trade's coming out
in
October.
Yeah, 2 years after it debuted, actually.
Right.
And it will be, I think, 200 pages plus.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And other than that, what else is going on with you guys?
Well, don't you have an ongoing war with Popeye? trying to steal olive oil from Popeye.
I got my little Pluto beer going on. But
in the hat.
So when I see him, I'm gonna moiter him.
Yeah. Spot on.
And don't love it.
Yes.
Steve and I are collaborating on another project that we can't really talk about yet.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing it up.
We're in that weird, like, in-between phase with a bunch of different things where it's all like, we're working on this, but you're not allowed to talk about it, but you're working on it pretty soon. So.
May I suggest Shanghai Moon?
Brilliant! Sorry! Werewolves and Ninjas.
It worked out really well for Mummy 3 when they moved things to cool, let's move on. Hello. Now let's move on to our first section, which we like to call the stack. First thing we are going to talk about today is Secret Invasion War of Kings, bridging between the two highly anticipated / totally done events. What'd you guys think about this issue?
There was more story and excitement in this one issue than most of Secret Invasion.
Oh.
Yes. If I can get on my tiny Shetland pony horse for a moment and say that this is a great issue.
I don't know if you read USA Today, but Secret Invasion was the best-selling comic of 2008.
True. That doesn't make it.
The economy never lies.
Yeah. A lot of people love
Also true.
Thank you, James.
When I saw that everyone movie at Christmas was Marley and Me, that means quality.
Yeah.
I will say.
I'm just kidding. The dog dies at the end.
Spoiler alert!
I'm kidding. The dog is buried.
Yeah.
This is a great issue. I really enjoyed this. I'm a total sucker for Inhuman stuff, and this is following up on all the things that are happening with the Inhumans, taking them into space and fighting people.
Yeah, it's great to see them in space.
Yeah.
Though it's so weird to me that Marvel keeps giving these characters really good plots and really good writers. I know that sounds ridiculous, but they're such C and D level characters. You'd expect they'd be like, whatever, we don't care about
them. Well, that's the way they're treating them, but it just happens that the stories are great.
Right.
And it's great, and everything exists kind of in a continuity. It's like a little pocket universe. Also coming up, War of Kings, Darkhawk, number one.
No, actually, War of Kings, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is even better, because it's like D&D in space.
True. I agree with you. I'm looking forward to that. I wonder why Darkhawk, he's not really a king, nor does he happen to work in space very well.
He's king of the Hawks.
Does
I don't know
else,
that's true.
Does anybody else think War of Kings is a really stupid title?
It is.
I just keep picturing people in robes like hitting each other with scepters.
Giant chess pieces.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, I guess that's how I think of kids.
Yeah. That's fine.
Chess pieces. They're fat, though.
What?
They're fat. Yes. So it would be fat guys in robes. The robes hitting each other.
Even funny.
But this is a great jumping on point, this comic here. It really sets things up for a really big arc. I mean, Thunderbolt, or as I like to call him, Field Goal Head.
Black Bolt.
he is really pissed off and is picking fights with pretty much everyone he can.
Now, Pete, imagine if you were so angry, but he can't say anything.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I would explode.
Inside. Yes.
There you go.
But it's a really solid issue. I would definitely recommend picking it up.
That's cool. Why he gets into so many fights. No one understands him.
Exactly.
That's why Pete gets into so many fights.
I know how he feels.
He wins. Let's move on and talk about Faces of Evil, Solomon Grundy, number one. Taking everybody's favorite swamp zombie.
Well, a man thing. It's kind of everything.
I don't really know about your man thing.
Well, not too bad. You haven't seen the third segment of the show. I was disappointed. If you remember last week on your checklist, I'm sure, I said this is the issue I was looking forward to for this week. And I was totally bummed out by it.
Yeah, you're totally wrong.
Because it's Jeff Johns and Scott Collins, great team.
Sure.
But the character nothing really happens, and it's kind of a bummer, especially because I was thinking of Solomon Grundy from Starman, which is fantastic. And then now we're all over in this other swamp area.
Yeah,
nothing happens. This dude punches a head through a wall.
I know.
Well, the problem is it keeps starting and stopping. It apparently the days of the week are really important in the story, which, okay.
He had never heard of a day called Thursday.
I was like, what is this day here in between Wednesday and Friday?
In between comic day.
But it's just weird because he dies, comes back to life, then dies again, and he's like skinny, then he's really big, and then he's really skinny. And there's no real explanation for it. And then they just like, check out the next issue. It'll all be explained. And it's like, no, you didn't sell me. So I'm not going to pick it up.
It is
This is more than one issue?
This is a teaser, essentially, for a miniseries that is coming out in a couple of months.
Yeah.
I think. And I think that's the unfortunate part about it, is it doesn't really exist on its own as an issue.
Yeah, there's no story.
Which, especially when you're doing a one-shot, you think it would exist on its own as an issue.
One shot. You only get one shot.
Yeah.
You're not.
But, apparently not.
Yeah. Shot. Well, especially at the end of this, out of nowhere, Green Lantern shows up. The old Green Lantern. He's like, well, I guess I'm going to have to partner up with you and solve this future crime I haven't mentioned yet. All right. I guess I'll have to read that. I don't know what that's about.
Jeff Johns is an amazing writer. I'm sure there's a plan here, but I think he didn't want to give anything away, but just kind of almost did like a half an issue of like teasing, or it wasn't enough to really get us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say pick it up?
Very great.
Both Dan DeDio and Mike Carlin's names are in the graveyard cemetery.
Wow. Chilly.
Prophetic.
Maybe that's
prophetic because we all die.
Someday.
Carlin and DeDio.
Wait, what year did they die?
2009.
Pete LePage.
No! You're going to be buried in the DC graveyard.
That's awesome. Marvel.
All right, let's move on. Talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 21.
A little ovation from the guest couch.
This is a gigantic misstep for this series, I think.
This is the first one I've liked.
And this coming from the guy who would very much like to have sex with Joss Whedon. Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you want to call yourself now, yes.
I legally changed my name.
It's hard to abbreviate.
This year.
Hell on your driver's license. That's the acronym.
It's okay. I already got a terrible picture on there, so. This is focusing on the character of Harmony, who is a vampire, and it's all over the place. It's all over the place, and it throws out these things. I feel like it's supposed to be just a one-shot, this is a frothy, funny issue.
Frothy? Is that what you said?
Yes.
It's great, like foam.
It's got rabies.
Yeah, nice. Ooh!
You can hold it in your hands and you can't open it.
Yeah, I know.
When I order a frothy cappuccino, I want the server to be like... This throws out a bunch of things. Like, there's a TV series focusing on Harmony, and she's being followed around as a vampire on MTV. So now the entire world knows about vampires, the entire world knows about slayers. And if, not to be a total stickler, but if this is in the continuity of the series, that's a really huge thing to throw out in a jokey issue. If it's not in the continuity of the series, it's a really weird thing to have in an issue.
Definitely. Also, but they try to make it in continuity because they reveal that the Slayers are known to the world and that everyone hates them. So if they're going to back that up, it's going to totally change the series.
Yeah.
Bro.
Unbelievable.
And I say...
I'm done with it.
Watching the dog have zany dog antics is pretty hilarious.
What?
He's reading a puppy comic book.
A dog?
I imagine it's a dog.
Oh, yeah, it's a dog.
Is that... Am I missing something?
Yeah, no, there's a dog.
Where is this in, like, the arc of things?
They've been doing... Last issue was a special about the Buffy animated series by Jeff Loeb, so it's kind of like one-shotty territory.
So they're not... Yeah, they're not trying to add up to...
I think the next one is the beginning of the next big arc.
Yeah, I think so.
It'll be back on track and better than ever.
That's a
Let's
dreamer.
Hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's move on and talk about the beginning of something new. Punisher, number one.
Yeah!
Pete, as a resident Punisher expert, what do you think about this issue?
Well, Rick Remender does amazing work, as we all know. Fear Agent has been ridiculously good. Yeah. I was really excited for this issue, and I was not let down at all. It was really cool. I mean, one of the things people make fun of a lot with the Punisher is like, oh, you know, he's a guy with guns in a superhero world.
What do you mean by people?
I mean you and Alex. but you know,
he didn't say D-bags.
So it was really, I'm glad you.
Dynamite bags.
He calls his dynamite bags.
I thought it was well handled, and as far as the first issue, it did an amazing job of getting the reader involved, up to speed, and wanting the next issue.
They do a great job of keeping the reader up to speed, and they do the saga of the Punisher tight, like three pictures per page, and then the rest is words about the Punisher's history. And if I may, Steve, I'm going to read a little passage from it.
Why can't you just say it's a great book and move on?
It is a great book. The comic itself is great, but when you read this thing about how batshit crazy the Punisher's life is,
for 15 pages of that.
Yeah, this is, it's so, half the issue is this word. It's like an oral
words,
history of
oh
the man.
Anytime I see a lot of words, I just fall asleep.
So listen to this. I'm going to read one sentence.
I went to a comic book, not a library.
Nice
thing.
Thanks for coming back from Vegas.
So this is what an episode from The Punisher's life. Confused and amnesiac, Castle wandered Manhattan, hunted by Iron Fist, caught in an anti-Spider-Man campaign of the Green Goblin, and hunting a falsely accused Kazar. That's this man. That's one sentence, and each one gets increasingly crazy. In one section, he's with Doctor Strange, the Sleepwalker, and Namorita, and they're like, what are we going to do now? I guess we're secret defenders. It just goes to show how crazy continuity gets as a character who is popular sits around for.
Yeah, it's totally unnecessary, too, because you can put one page in the back that says, the Punisher is a guy with guns.
Yeah.
Oversimplified?
Yes.
Now, is this some kind of, like, retooling? Is it like a relaunching of Punisher?
Yeah, it's Rick Remender, who we really like a lot.
Yeah.
And I will say, we are being mean about it, but he does a very good job.
The story's actually good.
Yeah. Yes, the story is good. He does a good job writing the Punisher, because he's very good with hard-boiled dialogue. And it's essentially like his character, Heath Houston, Fear Agent, without a sense of humor.
Yeah,
And that's
no humor.
Yeah, no humor at all. So it's very intense. He writes good action scenes.
Yep.
And this is adding the Punisher into current Marvel continuity. That's essentially how it's going.
I like it when he's smiling in this picture.
Yeah, he has a tender moment with his power pack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
really weird.
Like, wow.
And it says, he befriended the power pack because they remind him of his dead children. No, that's how emotions work.
That's something for like a psychologist to bring up.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yes. That thought doesn't often cross his mind, like, hey, my kid died. You're a kid.
Yeah. I like you.
Let's hang out.
That's what makes it awesome.
So, would you say pick it up?
Yeah, and definitely read the back.
I actually also say pick it up. I think there's better stuff coming in the series. This feels a little bit like a teaser to me.
Is this a three?
Yeah.
Vote pickup.
Yep.
Yeah.
On Punisher.
Yeah.
2009. In anger.
What is the date? I am writing it down.
Yeah.
This is our last show, everybody.
Happens at Comic Book Club Stadium.
Oh, rib.
Just started.
Sorry, James.
Yeah, sorry, James. Let's move on and talk about Batman Detective Comics number 852. This is another Faces of Evil issue, which should have been earlier. Solomon Grundy is part of the Faces of Evil thing. that DC is doing, which is mean they put villains on a cover.
Yeah.
Well,
see their faces.
Marvel's doing that too, but they charge you extra.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there
how's
you
up?
Go.
How's up?
Well, if you want to buy the variant cover, which with the bad guy on it, it just costs more.
No, it doesn't.
No, only if your comic book store is mean.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I guess that answers that.
I like this issue, actually.
Yeah.
This is following up on the Heart of Hush storyline that Paul Dini did 5 issues, like a couple of months ago in Batman Detective Comics. This is better than all of that combined.
Yeah.
It's very well done. It's a good crime story. It features Hush, a character that I could care less for, but puts him in an interesting situation where he's down on his luck and has to use crime to get his money.
That's all criminals.
Here's
he has Bruce Wayne's face, though.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. How did he get Bruce Wayne's face?
In the last Hush arc, he had a surgeon make Bruce Wayne's face on his own. I don't know.
He says that he did it to himself in the Heart of Hush storyline, that he did plastic surgery on himself. However, in this comic book, he specifically says, I'm not a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, I know.
Because he was a heart doctor, wasn't he?
Yeah,
maybe he's just taking credit for calling the shot.
Well, in the last arc, he had...
This is my facial project.
This is my dream.
He had zombified hospital workers, so maybe he controlled the zombies.
All right. Anyways, what I really like about what I really enjoyed about this is a lot of times when you get like a big story arc and they kind of end it and they give you like a little hope at the end of like maybe the villain's not dead and then it'll be like a couple months will go by and then you'll hear about what happened to the villain. This just does a great job of picking up where it left off and really giving you a solid what you thought was an ending, another solid finish to it. And also, does a great last page reveal that reading a lot of comics, I've gotten to a point like, all right, this is building up to a last page, you know, kind of splash. Didn't see it coming. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good comic.
Oh, I get it. I just flipped the
You flipped to the last page?
I did.
And you got it then.
I got the whole thing.
Yeah, which is a really great last page. You didn't read the description of the issue or the previous issue where they're like, next issue.
Quick spoiler.
Nice.
Yeah.
Little spoiler.
Can I talk more about Marley and me?
We're all just vamping.
Here's a spoiler about Marley and me. Dogs exist.
Apparently they're cute. Apparently they're cute dogs.
Let's move on and talk about Hexed number one, which is described on the cover as Hellblazer by way of J.J. Abrams' alias. Do you think it holds up to the legacy of these two classic series?
I like the issue. I think the art is cool.
Yep.
And I hate when they do that on top of comic, give the like little log line of that. But what they mean by J.J. Abrams' alias is a girl, isn't it? Hellblazer means there's magic in it. So, a magic girl. Got it.
They're buzzwords, so you'll pick it up.
Wow.
I got buzzed. I was drunk at the time.
But, yeah, all that aside, I feel like this is a solid first issue. A little bit, where I feel like I didn't get enough of the character's background.
Did you say it's a little solid, like froth? Is that what you're saying? It's frothy?
It's frothy. Yeah. It's semi-permeable. I feel like... I just feel like I really wanted to know a little bit more about the main character. They just kind of... You just see her in action a little bit, and it's tough to get behind her and what she's going through.
There's not enough going on in this first issue, I think.
Yeah.
It's a magic girl, and she investigates or goes after magic stuff. She's kind of like a magic repo man, I guess.
Wow, put that on the cover.
I'm going to read that. Magic repo man, girl.
That is kind of exactly what it is, though.
Yeah.
Someone steals something.
There's not enough of a premise set up. There's like one action scene, and then we get a setup for the next issue, and we don't really find anything out. And I feel like this is something that happens with a lot of new writers often, is that they want to hold back their secrets.
Yeah.
They're like, ooh, we have all these secrets. Let's hold back the secrets.
That's the way I am.
And it's not quite as interesting as actually setting up what the premise is and actually setting up what's going on in the first issue.
There is this cool scene where she cuts open a dead body's chest and goes inside, and it's like a room.
Wow, you really sold that.
It's cool. And you have to find something in the room.
There's some interesting stuff going on, and I think there are flashes of some really cool ideas in there that make it worth picking up and perhaps picking up the second issue. But as a whole, I don't really think it holds together.
I'm going to pick it up. I got to find out about this room.
What?
She needs to take off her pants in order to sit on it.
You don't understand magic, all right?
Or women, I think. They love to take their pants off
and climb on the dead
body. Yeah, I think she's having sex with a dead body.
Yeah, but then she crawls inside.
It should be called sex.
Wow.
See you in Vegas.
Can we have you on the phone? I just got a zinger that we don't have.
I'll just bust for zinger.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. Amazing Spider-Man Fear Itself, which is another one-shot by Stuart Moore. And wait, I'm going to read the artist because I've completely forgotten what his name is.
We'll just vamp until you're ready.
Please. All
right,
Joe
so Marley is... Oh.
What did you guys think about this issue?
I like the art a lot. I like the issue as a whole. Spider-Man teaming up with Man-Thing. And the way it goes is they kind of fight, but Man-Thing doesn't talk. So Spider-Man's like, oh, my fingers aren't working. And then Man-Thing cuts his chest, and then hey, Spider-Man's like, I'm turning green. So he has to track him down, and then Man-Thing helps him out.
Nice breakdown.
Yeah.
I definitely
was described like a 5-year-old.
That's how I do.
And there are webs.
We have a big 5-year-old.
No, but the art.
They actually have started playing our show to babies to get them to go to sleep. Did you know that?
That's the hell that half the audience is sleeping.
Half our audience is babies.
They're actually orphans, which is a baby.
I don't know what that is.
I'm trying to tell you.
Where's the Punisher to pick them up?
Yeah,
they remind you of his kids.
Yeah, right.
No, but the art's the best thing about this comic. I have a hard time whenever they do a story and then they make the main character dumber than he normally is to move a plot forward. Like, they make it really obvious to the reader that Man-Thing is like, hey, Spider-Man, we gotta team up here. And Spider-Man's like, whatever, man, I'm out of here. And it's obvious Man-Thing's trying to, you know, be like, hey, you know, you got a little virus in here there. So it takes him a while to figure it out, and then Man-Thing has to
try. That was like a 5-year-old, though, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I usually handle the 5-year-old stuff. So, but, yeah, and then
I have to say, I liked it, and it was fun, and I thought maybe I was on a fire truck.
That's like a dog. That's a dog's review.
Charlie.
Yeah. Gotcha. There is a kind of a nice sad moment where the whole thing's about fear, because everyone burns at the touch of the Man-Thing who has fear in them. And so the Man-Thing has to hold Spider-Man to burn this virus out of them, and so he has to get afraid. And then Spider-Man's like, oh, I guess the one thing that you wanted was a friend, but I can never be like you. And then the Man-Thing bursts into flames because he's afraid that he's never going to have a friend.
Aww.
Yeah, right? A little sad.
Jesus, that's boring.
That's what you mean on command.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's boring. I just turned you into like a Tennessee Williams player. Yeah. Like, oh, I got the vapors.
Happens all the time. A debutante ball. Invited to the show tonight. Sorry about that, by the way. What a horrible debutante ball.
And welcome to the adult world. This one I'm talking about, Rest Number 2, presented by executive producer Milo Ventimiglia of Heroes.
What?
The premise of this series is that there is a drug, and if you take the drug, actually if you have it inserted in the back of your neck, you will never sleep again. And what the consequences and conspiracies surrounding that are. And it stars a character that looks a lot like Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah. But his lips are together.
And he doesn't have the worst hair ever.
Slay!
And I should be...
You really drew Pete's sympathies out there. Oh, his hair, Alex.
You crossed the line.
Keep it nice up there.
Yeah, when I bought the first issue, I was like, this is kind of a ridiculous premise. But what I like about this issue is it really breaks down the fact that, like, they're having a board meeting, and it's like they're pitching the comic to the board meeting, and it's just like, I don't believe this would work, because if none of us slept, you know, we would use up all of the resources of the world, and it would get really, you know, everything would be barren, and it would, you know, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of like this comic. It's really weird how we're sitting around talking about this and you're pitching the thing. But other than that, though, it's like the only thing I thought was cool about the comic.
I kind of like this.
Actually. I did too. I thought it was a pretty good read.
Yeah. I don't know why we feel bad about this. Yeah. But, I really like the idea. I think there's something cool about the idea of never sleeping again and what happens to this guy. That
sleeping's the best. Yeah.
Well, think of all you could get done if you didn't sleep.
What? Fuck that. I'd rather sleep.
Because this big ad is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's probably the best part of the book.
You haven't read it yet, though, right?
I'm reading this big ad and I'm really entertained.
So far, it's your favorite part.
It's a fake ad for the drug that's in the book, and it is really well done. I think that aspect of the book is really excellent. The part that I don't like is the whole conspiracy angle where people are trying to get the drug, and it just feels very, very typical to me, whereas the rest of it does have some interesting ideas.
Right.
My favorite part of the book is the end where they tease a new book by Milo Ventimiglia, which is called, like, Rage or something like that.
Drilled.
Yeah, Drilled, or I don't know. And it's this character who's, like, bursting out of his shirt and screaming, who is also Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah, look, it really does look just like him, man.
Yeah.
But he's got a really weird vanity complex.
Berserker!
Some rest is about a drug that keeps you up. Is Berserk a comic that puts you to sleep?
Yeah, the comic will.
Yeah.
But it's about being really calm, quiet, comfortable with yourself. As you can see.
Yeah, it's about one's inner life.
If it's anything like his line readings on Heroes, it's going to be a good book.
And that's it for the staff. Yeah. All right, it is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out James.
James!
I'm
going to
stay up here because the projector's being weird and I want to make sure nothing goes wrong.
What a professional.
Wow. That's great.
Wow.
I didn't know what we were missing.
Also,
yeah. Kind of
tired.
Oh, sorry.
Cool,
sorry
man.
To wait.
Oh, it's not your fault.
It's like you live here or something.
Oh.
Do I smell waffles?
So I got some questions.
Okay.
Good. That's what section.
Yeah.
All
right, Alex.
Whoa!
Jazzy already, man.
What is the best non-High Moon werewolf story?
Ooh.
I'm gonna say Teen Wolf.
We're talking about comics.
Oh, it's Teen Wolf.
No,
comics.
Wait, did you say
comic
story?
No, I think
someone
must
have. Let's go with comics. Best non-High Moon werewolf.
No?
His Teen Wolf 2 answer will stand.
High School Adventures of Werewolf from White Wolf Games.
I
would say, what was it, Werewolf by Night number 32, the first appearance of Moon Knight.
Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh. Wow.
The world was awesome. Moon Knight.
Serious geek
for I would
say yes. I would believe that was. Or I was actually a big fan of the old Werewolf TV show that used to run on Fox.
That was awesome. Anyone see that movie Dog Soldiers?
Yeah.
Dog Soldiers. It's an awesome movie.
It's
set in England.
Yeah.
Right? It was London. Yeah.
What about the
Scotland, sorry.
What about the Sega Genesis game Altered Beast?
Nice!
Yes!
Best werewolf story of all time.
Story!
It's kind of like choose your own adventure.
Can I go with Castlevania 2 then?
So yeah.
Done!
Yeah. Do you have a favorite werewolf?
Uh-oh. Battery's getting low.
Hurry up, talk fast!
Plug in the computer. Okay.
Guys.
Figure it out, don't worry.
Well, it's funny, werewolves really aren't really done a lot in comic books. Which, don't worry, I'll vamp until you get done.
Oh!
I'm so smart, I like Joss Whedon!
That's a ringing impression of that.
You got the voice.
I've been studying him.
Yes, he's on
podcast after podcast.
What'd you do? Eliminate all the testosterone? He's not listening. It's
come on.
What, you're upset?
Yeah.
You have too much testosterone. He has too little. I'm caught in the middle, bombarded by your hormones.
You're a virtual Goldilocks of testosterone.
I've got just enough.
What's going on?
We love your hair.
If you ask that question, raise your hand. People will bring you a gift. And let's get the next question, James.
What's the worst comic book you've ever bought?
Wow.
Ooh.
Bought, not just read, bought.
I mean, what recently point? I would have to say Superman and Batman versus vampires and werewolves.
Yeah,
coincidentally, which spot was on. Terrible, hilariously terrible, but terrible.
Bought or read?
Bought.
Bought.
Brought home.
What happened?
Brought home from the day.
Worst comic. Really tough.
Yeah, because I'm really.
I've a lot of bad stuff I've read.
But the thing is that to be truly bad, the expectation has to be high, and then it has to be truly terrible.
Okay.
On the seat to
Death of Superman.
Death of Superman.
Why'd you hate it?
I hate it because basically I thought Superman deserved a better death than just to be pummeled to death by some ugly thing from outer space.
That was made up.
There was a much cooler story that Grant Morrison just recently wrote.
Yeah.
Kind of did it right.
Right.
So I thought that they totally missed an opportunity to get a huge amount of audience beyond DC and a huge amount of readers that might have actually been a little bit more accepting if they'd done a more intelligent story that might have actually brought in people who had not read Superman in 20 years and picked it up just because Superman died,
which
happened a lot.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a huge missed opportunity for comics in general.
Especially because he died and Doomsday died because they punched each other at the same time. I was like, man, that'd be hard to time it. So it literally rang false.
Was it like the beginning of Rocky IV?
It all started. You see too many movies.
I don't know if you remember Walt Simonson's Thor versus Jormungandr issues. I don't know. Anyone remembers this?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost the exact same story. They beat each other up for for the whole book, and they both die after they punch each other to the last blow.
Yeah.
But much, much better done, and it's also full pages every thread, and it was excellent. So it's really disappointing in comparison.
That's perfect. Expectation high.
Yes,
Superman
expectation
day.
High.
I would say, not that my expectation was super high, but Batman Cacophony by Kevin Smith.
Oh,
yeah. Was terrible.
So bad.
Yeah.
I would say all the medium crises, the final medium and soft crises.
Especially crises.
And the Jenna Jameson comic. I had really high expectations for.
Well, you expect to be more like her film work, I think.
I recently read Iron Man Demon in a Bottle, and I actually thought it was kind of, not terrible, but just not particularly good at all, and it's considered the best Iron Man story of all time. And
Armor
maybe
Wars
it is, but
the
it,
best
that's
Iron Man story of all time.
But
that is true. Armor Wars.
Yeah, but Demon in a Bottle, it's just there's like six issues where occasionally, every once in a while, there's like, oh, alcohol looks good, and then at the end, he's like, I'm a total alcoholic, and he solves it in one night. In one night, he's like, I'm not an alcoholic anymore, which is true.
That's
true.
The way I kicked it.
There was an awesome issue. From the last time he was an alcoholic, back in the 80s. I think I wrote it, I was writing it, but I know Barry Windsor-Smith drew it, and it's all about him fighting it's gorgeous, and it's all about him fighting the demon of alcoholism, but it's like him in his Iron Man armor, and it's all like psychological, just like beautiful.
I would have to say the worst comic I have ever bought, I believe, was the first issue of Captain America Fighting Chance. Nobody knows what
Fighting Chance.
It was back when, this is in the 90s era of comics, Mark Gruenwald was finishing his legendary run on Captain America, and the Super Soldier Serum was poisoning Captain America's body. And it was right before, nobody else knows what it's about. Captain America was dying. The Super Soldier Serum was killing him. And I think the art was by Dave Hoover. It was terrible. And Captain America was wearing that battle armor. Right before Mark Wade and Ron Garney took over.
Oh, right, yeah.
So absolutely nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that must have been that bad. Yeah. I think you win because no one knew what you're talking about.
Who asked that one?
All right.
In the back.
Okay, let's get one more question.
What's the second best comic ever?
Second best? Second best is the first loser. And according to my No Fear t-shirt.
The second best comic ever?
That implies what's the first best, so whoever wrote that would want to shout out.
I guess it's like your favorite. It's like take your favorite and then what's your second favorite?
Thank you for explaining the concept.
I saw you having trouble.
Team
Wolf 2 is my
second favorite comic.
Oh, got it.
Second favorite story.
Well, it could have been second favorite story.
Yeah.
Second favorite.
He's a really stoked.
No one writes these down. You're not married to your answer.
New Warriors, number 75.
Man, you have them. The number's down.
I don't know. Let's say Inferno.
Well, nice.
No explanation.
None needed. Bone.
I'm gonna say.
What do you say? Second favorite.
I'll say Razzle.
Razzle is your
second. Just second.
Seven favorite comics of all time.
Second favorite. What does it matter?
Wolverine and Punisher. Yeah, first.
Yeah, I know. You have Wolverine and Punisher.
This is my second favorite comic of all time. But I can only remember things that we're just talking about.
Frequently, those aren't the same.
Sorry. So we're having our little conversation.
We're having our little
talking about what's the worst comic we've ever worked on. Yeah. Oh. And then what's the second worst comic?
Well, you tell us about it.
The same as the worst comic we've ever read.
Well,
what's the
worst one? Is,
well, yeah, go ahead with that.
Worst one I ever wrote. Well, okay, now I have to think about. Well, there are some that people wouldn't recognize, like Prince Vandal from Triumphant Publishing from the 80s. And there was all kinds of Valiant stuff. I mean, like, all kinds of Valiant stuff that was terrible.
Atomic Angels.
Yeah, that was pretty much up there. Atomic Angels by Crusade. The other Crusade title that, no one ever read. Yeah, we had to wrestle that one away from the end.
Wrestle?
Yeah, wrestle. Away from the writer. The whole focus of the story was going to have all these teen superheroes, kind of not quite superheroes, saving the world, the Empire State Building from a nuclear terrorist who actually didn't have a nuclear bomb, and it was all going to end in a court case.
Nothing more thrilling visually than litigation.
So the whole last issue was going to be
a wheel slowly winding down.
Yeah. No, the stakes get lower and lower. I'm going to be like, I need the bomb.
That was my argument for the end of The Sopranos. I thought it should end in just a big court battle, Tony on trial.
Might have been better than
Yeah, I guess anything's better.
Yeah.
Cool. If you ask that question, raise your hand. And that's it for your audience questions. Yay! Now it's time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. First thing we're going to talk about, there's been a rumor passing around the past couple of days from person to person. Aaron Eckhart made a comment that sparked speculation that Two-Face would be back in the sequel to The Dark Knight or the prequel to the Batman Begins. That's a real word, I'm sure. What do you guys think about this? Would you want to see Two-Face in The Dark Knight 2?
I think he died. He died at the end of that one. Come on, it's so much better if he dies.
He did a good job with the character, but just like Two-Face itself is just not a compelling character, and it's always mixed in. Like, it's always someone and Two-Face, and so if they do another movie, it's going to be someone and Two-Face, and I just think he's not compelling enough to make the focal point, so they always kind of shoehorn him in, and he's like too bizarre to just kind of be like a cool on the side thing. I just don't agree with that.
Well, and his fall is great, but to have him without that is just like, bing.
The cast is Two-Face. Say, for example, Jennifer Love Hewitt or Jennifer Aniston, or in a female role, I think it'd be more compelling than Aaron Eckhart as Two-Face.
It would be too sexy.
Wait, why?
Wow, he's sexier.
Half a jaw.
Cool.
No, they could have Aaron Eckhart and half
Oh, is that what you...
Which one's the monster?
Yeah.
No, just saying.
Wow, why aren't you guys doing this? Yeah.
Which one's evil?
I'm free if they want me to write.
Yeah. In fact, the whole movie would be great if they just had like two halves of people playing all the characters. Right?
Instead of switching costumes, you just Batman just turns to the other side.
Like, Bruce, have you seen Batman? Right here.
I never saw you at the same time. Yeah,
behind that mask.
That's fantastic.
What do you want to see in the new Dark Knight movie? New Dark Knight movie, you know what I mean?
I
just don't want it to get
suck.
I don't want it to suck, exactly. I don't want it to see Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. I don't want nipples. I just want it to be good.
Catwoman.
I
agree with Pete. I would love it if everybody just sliced their nipples off.
Thank you, Alex. I always appreciate that on my back.
Batman and nipples.
I want to see the ventriloquist.
That's horrible.
No.
That's the dumbest character ever, because it's like, eventually you just take the little fucking dummy away, and you're done.
Right. No.
He's like, I have the song.
King Tut.
Get it.
King Tut.
Awesome. Selling back to the comics.
Egghead would be brilliant. Vincent Price.
Do you remember in the old Batman
series?
When in the movie when they dehydrated all the United Nations people? Remember that? That was the scariest thing. I thought it was awesome. It was the most frightening thing.
That's why you drink two waters.
Exactly.
See,
when they had
Bruce Wayne in like a little helmet, just trying to discern like what his real identity was, because he had found all the right. He was like, Batman's right-handed. Let's get all the right-handed billionaires in this thing and we'll read all their minds. So I was like, oh my god, Egghead's totally gonna find out who Batman really is. But no,
he did not.
He didn't do it.
That's a good story, you guys.
The next movie would be. It's like, I think that should be more plot-driven than villain-driven. Like,
done.
It was a really intricate plot, and I think you need a really smart action movie.
Well, but they need a villain. They need a villain.
You could do with the, if you did a mob story, you could do it with the guy you just said with the puppet. The
jerk.
You don't have to reveal that there's a ventriloquist until the end.
Oh, nice.
You'd be a weirdo with a puppet. Like,
yeah.
It could be
a
very elaborate mob movie.
Right.
Or if Batman turns into a puppet.
That might. Again, those are really great ideas. Let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about, there is some almost kind of not really definite casting for Iron Man 2, which is Mickey Rourke as Crimson Dynamo and Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer.
Woo!
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Justin Hammer is a billionaire like Tony Stark, and Crimson Dynamo is a big robot like Iron Man.
Interesting dichotomy.
So what do you guys think about this?
I think Mickey Rourke could do it without the armor. He could just like...
He has leather skin.
Yeah, no.
He's just a broken down piece of meat.
Yeah, certainly. Did you see him? Anyone see him in the Golden Globes? He was crazy.
He thanked his dogs and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
He was the dogs, Bruce.
He started that whole monologue about man alone with his dogs, and then was like, oh, I shouldn't get into this. Bruce, thanks!
Yeah. He's like best friends with Bruce Springsteen? It's so weird.
Hang on, this got derailed real quick.
What were we talking about?
Iron Man 2, cast.
Crimson Dynamo, is it going to be a Russian thing? Maybe.
It has to
over
be.
To, I know, but that's kind of old new.
Crimson Dynamo is, A, one of my favorite Marvel characters. I think he's awesome. B, I think Mickey Rourke could do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he could do a good job.
Or blow it completely, like every other movie.
Steve, didn't you have something to do with Crimson Dynamo?
Yes, I worked on an ill-fated version of Crimson Dynamo a few years ago, from the Epic line. So, yeah, I got to design the armor, though, for...
Oh, wow.
As long as it lasted. I think they've redesigned it, like, 3 times since.
But
it was in a toy and a movie and...
And Marvel Ultimate Alliance video game.
So...
Cool. Like, that's Steve Ellis' armor. Oh.
But then, they changed it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Sam Rock.
I do think Sam Rockwell is pretty much perfect casting for somebody who is a foil for Tony Stark.
He can be a real
dick. He's very funny as well. He's very improvisational. He's very charming, and he can play evil, as we've seen, I think, in, what was it, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle?
And Green Mile.
And Galaxy Quest.
And the Green
Galaxy. Well, he wasn't evil in that, but he was awesome.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm excited to see what they are going to do.
Yeah. Me too.
Cool. That's it for the week. Yeah. All right, it is time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right. Yeah. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. How this works is we give you an opportunity to win 25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. So, who would like a chance to win 20? Yes, first hand up guy.
Yes.
Come on down. Hello, what's your name?
Arshlomo.
Arshlomo, audience? Audience Arshlomo. All right. Here we go. So, let's. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions. You listen to all three possible answers. Choose the correct one. Get all three right. Gift card yours. Here we go. So today's trivia, thank you, James. Today's trivia is going to be on High Moon for no reason whatsoever. Okay, here we go. High Moon is set in which Texas town? Is it A, Blessed, B, Harbor, or C, Eva Mendez is hot? So it's either A, Blessed, or B, Harbor.
I'm thinking C, but probably A.
A is correct! I want to check and see. He's one for one, people. One for one. Here we go. The name of the bounty hunter is A, Matt Murdock, B, Matt McGregor, or C, Bubba Fett's mom.
That's not a name.
So it's either A, Matt Murdock, or B, Matt McGregor, not MacGyver.
It can't be Daredevil, so I gotta go with B.
There we go! Two! Here we go. McGregor must make the ultimate decision. What is it? Is it A, live free or die? B, live like a beast or die like a man? Or C, try to cut down on carbs?
Personally, the ultimate decision is C, but I'm guessing B.
B is correct! $25, congratulations.
Good job,
everyone.
Great contestant. Yeah.
No,
extra trivia, Matt Murdock is
Daredevil.
What?
Oh,
man.
Sorry. Yeah, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Are you tripping out?
It's all subliminal there.
What are you looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
The last issue of I Kill Giants is coming out. I can't wait. It's been an absolute fun ride. I highly recommend it.
Looking forward to X and Furnace number 2. The first issue was great, and I like it.
I'm looking forward to the Amazing Spider-Man Obama variant.
Thank you, Paul.
Gotta get to that comic shop early and get it, because I'm gonna make so much money.
He's making fun of you.
No, actually, seriously, Pete, if you all those comics where you're like, I'm gonna get these Care Bears and get them graded, this is the one comic you should actually get that might actually make money.
I'm looking forward to Sonic the Hedgehog coming out, as well as I'm going to be staying up all night drawing my own versions of Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2.
To retroactively make your point.
Yeah, it was a big win. So tomorrow I'll hang out the best and worst versions of
Hedgehog. Steve?
This seemed very lame, but it's actually the first one on the list, BPRD Black Goddess.
Yeah, great.
They've
been doing a great job with the
universe. Yeah, especially, and now I'm totally forgetting his name, the artist.
Guy Davis,
thank you. Yes,
I can't believe I remember that.
David?
I'm actually really, really partial to Captain Britain and the MI-13.
Yes, great series. Not canceled.
Great, actually, when I don't buy that book, I come home and I weep that I didn't buy it.
Wow.
That's what happened. You forget to buy it.
Well, yeah, no. I only allow myself 3 comics a week.
Well, really?
What?
Why?
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Willpower.
Classic Pluto. Classic Pluto thing to say.
So what is that? What is that?
What is this willpower you speak of?
Yeah. I don't have it.
Yeah.
I got about 30 hamburgers.
Let's plug something you guys have coming up. Matt, do you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm in the show happening right after this, but it's sold out, so you can't come.
Man,
T-Wolf won.
Old man show.
Like I said, we have our book coming out in October, High Moon Trade, and
be paying
I have some things coming
out
possibly for Marvel and an announcement in February.
Yes, something awesome in February that will be announced at the Zuda panel at New York Comic Con from 3:30 to 4:30. I don't know the room number.
We'll be there.
All right, and then because they came out, I wanted to thank the Night Elves guys for coming out.
You can
read our comic at highroomcomic.com. There's some Zuda samplers there on your seats, I believe. Check us out.
Sweet.
All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week, we're going to have Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy, creators of Comic Book Comics and Action Philosophers, on the show, as well as many other things. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. So please do that. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Matt for being on the show.
Yes!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m., please tell your friends, good night!
Thanks,
thank you, sir. Thanks for having me as always.
Yeah, no problem. I thought maybe we were playing the words out.
I don't know. They wouldn't qualify.
Well, just to give me something else to say besides like the, hey, next show.
Do you come to this all the time?